We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 17. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 17. As you get there, we'll pray. Some of you have asked Pastor Dave and others here about how to share our faith with others. So we are... March 2nd and 3rd, that weekend, we'll have some special guests here to teach us about how to share our faith. And then the following Monday, the 4th, we'll have a workshop, probably in the cafe. So mark that on your calendar. Be in prayer for that. And more to come in the future, huh? So everybody there, let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that, Father, we would be a people that hear, that we would hear what your Spirit has to say to us through the Word and the words that are spoken to us. And we pray that we'd be filled with your Spirit, that we'd be totally open to what you have to say to us tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is one of those kind of nuts and bolts studies, if you will, and it's come out of my devotions in the book of Deuteronomy, which has been fantastic. And so Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 17, a very familiar scripture to many of you. The title of our message is Hear, H-E-A-R, is the first command. Should be up there. We'll have some notes up there for you if you're following along and taking notes. You're well. Hear is the first command. And let's just dive in and see where this takes us. Verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, and it's in the singular. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes, plural, and judgments, plural. There is a singular one commandment, okay, and we don't know what it is yet, which is not yet given, and it's connected to it are statutes. That means that which is engraved or written down. That which is engraved and written down. Okay. And judgments. Now, the judgments are the exercising of government based on the statutes. So the government exercises judgments based on the statutes. But the statutes and the judgments all flow from this. Now, this is the commandment. Okay, follow so far? Good? Okay. So where did Moses get them? So we need to back up to chapter 5. Where did he get them? Back up to chapter 5. 30 through 31. And now, so Moses is recalling nearly 40 years later to the second generation. Where's the first generation? They're dead. They're buried in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. Okay, and Moses is still alive, but he won't go into the promised land. So the second generation is about to enter into the promised land, and Moses is instructing them. So if we back up to 5:30 and 31, Moses is recalling nearly 40 years earlier after he had heard the big Ten Commandments. And the Lord said to him, verse 30, go and say to them, return to your tents. So the Lord gave the Ten Commandments audibly. Everybody heard them as well as Moses. Okay. Then God, later on, he wrote them out with his finger and on the stones themselves. And here he tells them, after they have heard this, you guys go back to your tents. Moses is going to get further instructions. He's going to get what? The statutes and the judgments that flow from those 10, which flow from one. Okay? You follow so far? Okay. And then God says, but as for you, Moses, stand here by me. Well, that's interesting. So did he appear physically to him? And if he did, it was who? Who appeared to him? Jesus. Because no man has seen God at any time and lived to tell it. But the only begotten Son is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. No one has seen the invisible God, but they've seen Jesus. And that's called the Christophany, or manifestation of Christ in the Old Testament. So it's interesting. Stand here by me, and I will speak to you all, implying plurality, all the commandments. Now, the word commandments there is singular. All the commandment. So it implies there's a plurality that's going to come out of a singularity of one commandment. Does that make sense? You follow so far? And then he also, I'm going to tell you the statutes and the judgments, which you shall teach them. Which you shall teach them, okay? That they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. To possess. He's going to give this land to them to possess. Moses received them from the Lord first, then he taught the people in such a way that they would observe them. And we'll talk about that in a minute. What does observe look like? So to teach, you receive, you learn, and now you are to observe. Okay? So verses 32 through 33 explain what observe looks like. We're still in chapter 5. Hope you're there. Therefore, you shall, one, be careful to do. Be careful to do. Careful, carefully to do, with detail, with attention. Okay, be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. Two, you shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Okay, and when you go over and pass over into the land that you're going to possess, okay, don't lose focus. Don't lose focus. Don't get distracted by a left or right hand off ramp that will lead to your dead end. It will lead to your dead end. Don't get distracted by what's on the left or the right. Don't take those exits, okay? Don't take those exits because they're going to lead to your dead end. Verse 33, the third thing you should, that what observe looks like. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you. So when we see ways there, I think of the ways of self-denial, the ways of love, the ways of mercy, the ways of righteousness. So it reflects the principles by which you observe and you keep his statutes and his judgments. Now, what will be the fruit of careful observing? What will be the fruit of that? Verse 33 continues. You ready? That you may live, and that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Okay? Now remember, physical death was often the final discipline for God's people in those days. Not so much today. Not so much with us. Okay, but physical death was often the ultimate discipline that God exercised with the Jewish people when they went into the land. Okay, doesn't mean they lost their eternal soul. Didn't mean that, but that was often the ramifications. That was often the what's the word I'm looking for? Consequence of their sins was physical death. So you hear that a lot, don't you, in the Old Testament? That you may live long and it may be well with you. You know? Okay. Verse 1 of chapter 6 again says, now this is the commandment singular, and these are the statutes plural and judgments plural, which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe to do them. I added to do in the land which you are crossing over the Jordan, to possess. And they're on the other side. They're on the eastern side. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord. That you may fear the Lord. And it's repeated, fear the Lord, in verse 13. That you may fear the Lord your God. He is their God. No one else. He is theirs. They don't have any others. He's it. That you may fear your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson and all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. So again, that benefit, that long life benefit of walking in the Lord in those days. Okay. All of that brings us to our first command, not our first commandment. Maybe that's a fine distinction, but it's one I like to make. It brings us to our first command. The first command is, therefore, what's the word? Hear. Therefore, hear. And it's in the command form. Hear, O Israel. Hear, John. Hear. Put your name there. Hear. And be careful to observe it, to make it happen. Observe, to make it happen, to do what it is you are about to hear. What it is you're about to hear, but you're commanded first to hear. And then whatever you hear, you are to be careful to observe, to do it. Okay? There's a two-step listening process here. To hear, the next step is in order to observe and to make it happen. To make it happen what you have heard. So why go through a discussion, because we are, on fear and love? Why go through a discussion on fear and love? Because we must listen with balanced ears. You must listen to balanced ears. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He hates sin, abhors sin, darkness. Of any kind, okay? And that's the source of correct fear. The fact that he is light, that he hates sin. That is the source of a correct fear. And God is love, and that is the source of loving him. And that is the source of loving him. What does 1 John say? We love him, why? First love us. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Answer that question right now out loud. Yes? Okay, the only reason you could say yes is because he loved you first. So never, ever let me hear you say the words, God doesn't love me. Because you love him, and the only way you could even say the words, I love him, is if he loved you first. With a correct fear, we will take heed to the 1,050 commands that are in the New Testament under grace. With the correct fear, we will take heed to the 1,050 commands under grace in the New Testament. How many commandments are there in the Old Testament? 613. There are more commands for us in the New Testament than there were in the Torah. Pretty heavy. Why must we listen well and observe? Verse 3 continues, if you're looking down. One, that it may be well with you, may be well with your soul, and hopefully with your body and circumstances as well. But that's not always the case, is it? Two, that you may multiply greatly. And for us, that would be that we would be fruitful. That we would be fruitful. And Dave talked this last weekend about the three aspects of fruit bearing, that we would bear fruit, that we would bear much fruit, and that our fruit would abide, it would remain, okay? And so that we would multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. So what are we to hear? What are we to hear? The first thing that they were to hear is in verse 4. Hear, Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God, signifies a plurality. The Lord is one, signifies a unified plurality. Okay. All that God is, all that he will manifest of himself towards us are in these words. Everything is there. The germs are there. The seeds are there, if you will, of everything that he will manifest of himself is that the Lord, Jehovah, our God, Elohim, plural, the Lord is one, a unified plurality. And from that, everything that we know of him today has stemmed. Okay. Therefore, all that these words imply lead us to the first great commandment. What's the first command? To what? Hear. To hear. The first command is what? To hear. Okay. This will now lead us to the first great commandment. Okay. You shall actively love as a husband loves his wife. The Lord your God with all your heart, all your emotions, the center of your being, your will, all of that, all of your heart, with all of your soul, your mind, and with all of your strength, all your physicality, with all of the unified plurality of your being, you are to love the Lord your God. That's the first commandment. And Jesus agrees that this is the first commandment. In case you don't believe me, in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn there, but you might want to note it. There's a lawyer who asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Commandment in the law. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, all of your being, all of you, to love him." This is the first and great commandment. First and great commandment. So does Jesus agree with me here, with us here, with Deuteronomy? Yes. And a second, you may have "the" there in italics. The definite article is not there, but a second, which means the second comes out of the first. It's attached to, derives from, flows from the first. A second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, okay? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, all 613, everything the prophets had to say hang from these two, but they really hang from what? From one great commandment. But the first command is to hear. Because if you don't hear, you're not going to understand and you're not going to listen to what? The first great commandment. If you're spiritually deaf, will you know what the first great commandment is and what a second is like unto it and all of this? Will you? No, you won't. He tells us who he is to us, that he is our God. And he says this on the basis, on this basis, you will love me for who I am to you. You will love me for who I am. We are to love him for who he is. Not just what he gives us. There's one man in the Bible that especially understood this. Who was this? Who is this one man in the Bible that understood, that loved God for who he is and not for anything he could get from him? Who was that? His name was David. A man after God's own heart, not his wallet. His own heart. Think about that. Verse 6. And these words, verses 4 through 5, and hereafter, which I command you, whatever he's going to command you in the rest of this book today, shall be in your heart, because that's where you make your decisions. And you need judges in your heart. You need power in your heart. And there's nothing more powerful than what? The Word of God. The Word of God, enabled by the Holy Spirit, shall be in your heart. Heart in the Torah, the first five books, the Old Testament, is found 112 times in 103 verses in the first five books of the Old Testament. It is found half of those, of the word heart is found in Deuteronomy alone. Nearly half of what's in the Torah is found in the Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy Moses is very concerned by the multiplicity and the multiple uses of certain words. He's concerned about certain things. And what is he concerned about here? He's concerned about the second generation's what? Their heart. Where are they really at? Because who did not have a heart for God? Their mothers and fathers did not have a heart for God. So this is emphasized here in Deuteronomy, something their parents didn't have towards the Lord. Verses 7 through 9, how do we keep the word that is there that we are to hide in our heart? In Psalms, David says that I would hide your word in my heart, that I would not sin against you. See that principle there, okay? Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children, diligently to your children. Teaching others, we teach ourselves. Think about that. Teaching others, we teach ourselves. As I prepare this message, as Dave prepares, as Bob prepares on the weekends at the nursing homes and that, guess who's getting taught more than they are? We are, the teachers. It ministers to us. We need to be partakers first of the grain and the crops that we are going to be giving out. Teaching others, we teach ourselves. The student becomes a mirror of ourselves. Think about that. Past, present, and future. As your teaching takes effect and you begin to see the change, you're also seeing the changes that have occurred in you or will occur in you. My ministry verses are in 1 Timothy 4, and it's 10 through 16. Those are my verses from 1976. They've been my ministry verses. The last one says this in 1 Timothy 4:16: take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Careful how you listen, John, and to the doctrine, the doctrines of the Scripture. Continue in them. Continue to learn them, continue to walk in them, continue to hide them in your heart. For in doing so, in doing this, you will both save yourself and those who hear you. And I do well spiritually when I'm teaching. I really do. When I've had periods in my life where I may have had some time where I wasn't teaching, I'm generally always teaching something, I do well. It saves me. It's good for me. Okay, and all of you should be teaching somebody. Somebody you should be teaching. It's good for you. Verse 7 continues, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house. You're going to talk about the word in your house. Talk about them. This is a constant. When you walk by the way, when you encounter other people, and you're going on, you're going to go on holiday observance, Passover, and so on and so forth, and you walk by the way, or you're going on a trade route, you talk about the word. When you lie down, the last thing I do, the last thing I read on my Kindle is I'm in Acts. I just read that before I go to sleep, and we turn the lights out. Margaret is memorizing the book of James and before we go to sleep, and that's the last thing that is on my mind. It's kind of cool. I need it, by the way. Your conversation shall be centered around the words of this law, the words of the Word of God. Verse 8, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And I notice some of you have tattoos on your hands and that. Jim, no, you don't have that. Okay, sorry. And they shall be as frontlet between your eyes. Now, in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, frontlets there is translated with a word that means it's a permanent, unshakable focus between, before, or in front of your eyes. In front of your eyes, a focus in front of your eyes, what you're looking at. And I look at something and I go, oops, I shouldn't be looking at that. God forgive me. Boom, it's washed. Okay? And you are focused as if you only had one eye in reading of the word. And what you read, you should write. That's what I love about Margaret's memorization process. She'll share that with you for $29.95, and get the book as well. I'm kidding. What you read, write. Verse 9 says what? And you shall what? Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Words of God, not images of God. Words of God, not images of God. We're not to make an image of him. This is what's this is what going and possessing means in verse 10. It shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made a promise to them to give you large and beautiful cities, not destroyed. You know, the only one of the cities that was destroyed was what? Jericho. Who destroyed it? God did. Okay. Which you did not build. You didn't build those cities, he reminds them. Verse 11, houses, this is what possessing means. Houses full of all good things, which you did not fill. You aren't going to fill those houses. Hewn out wells, which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, verse 12, then beware. Then beware. We got to beware, don't we? Lest you forget. In the Septuagint, the word for forget, again, the Greek Old Testament, is lanthano, and it means to escape our notice. To escape our notice. To forget, to escape our notice. To forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Lanthano is used in James chapter 1, 23 through 24, and Pastor Dave went through these verses. It's good to be reminded again. I get my wife up here, she could do it by memory, but we won't do that to her. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Verse 24, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets, lanthano, what kind of man he was. Verse 13, you shall fear the Lord your God. This is when you go into the land and you're possessing and all these blessings, and you're going to take heed, though, to yourself. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. Fear follows the loving of verse 5. In verse 5, we are commanded to love him for who he is and all that who he is and what he becomes from that. Ultimately, he became Jesus in the flesh to us. More on fear and love in a moment. Verse 14, you shall not go after by veering to the left or the right. Remember, he said, when you go into the land, don't veer to the left or the right. You're going to be tempted to. You're going to see a lot of bright lights. You're going to see a lot veering to the left or right. Remember, those are exits that lead to your dead end. By going after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. Oh, wow. All around you. Verse 15, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. That reflects the fact that he is what? God is what? Love. Jealous. This is a righteous jealousy. Righteous jealousy. He is a jealous God, and because he loves and he loves you. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. This reflects the fact that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So here you have this concept of love and light, of love and fear, all in one verse. Verse 16, you shall not tempt or test the Lord. Who quoted this verse in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4? Jesus, okay? You shall not tempt or test the Lord your God as you tempted or tested him at Massa. And you can look up that, what that was about. Now, a lot of things I'm going to give you tonight are primers for the pump. And they're for you to go and study, okay? And so I don't want to hear any, would you please explain all of that to me? Would you drill down into all that for me? Because I don't want to do all that work and look up all that stuff. No, I'm going to give you some primers, and I want you guys to drill into it. This is not exhaustive on any of these subjects, okay? Verse 17, and I don't know any of you that talk like that. That's in the other service they do, so... Oh, you're here, Kyle. Sorry. No. You don't talk like that either. That's what I meant. Verse 17, you shall diligently, and this involves, diligence involves heart, mind, and strength. Heart, mind, and strength, all of you. It needs, diligence requires all of, all that you, that comprises you, the multiplicity of who you are. Diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies, his statutes, which he has commanded you. Now, I want to give you a summary thus far. We put the word summary up here and then show the first one. The first summary is here is the what? The first command, okay? And number two, in summary, but not the first commandment. The first commandment is to love him with all of your being. So, how are we to hear? Our focus tonight is on hearing. How are we to hear? Number one, we are to hear in order to love and fear. Your hearing is defective if it doesn't lead you to love and fear the Lord your God. At the same time, in the same room, in your heart and in your mind, at the same time. Your hearing is defective if it does not lead you to love and to fear him at the same time. Now, love is used in Deuteronomy 25 times. 25 times. Of God's love for them, about 10 times in this book of Deuteronomy. The rest of love's usages in Deuteronomy have to do with us loving God and or loving other people. Fear is used 31 times in Deuteronomy in various contexts. Let me give you some of those contexts, okay? And I see a lot of questions on your face, but we'll get to those questions. I will put the dread and fear of you upon the nations in 2:25, and twice more he says that same thing. I will put the fear and dread of you upon the nations. Is that a good thing? Absolutely. Now, then he says, then do not fear them in 3:2. Used in this way or in a similar way about 5 times in Deuteronomy. So is that a bad fear? He says, do not fear them. Okay? So that's a fear that you do not want to have. Correct? Correct? Can I get a yes? Amen? All right. Gather the people to hear my words that they may learn to fear me. Is that a good one? Okay, that's a good one. Okay. What do you have to differentiate? The good fear from the bad fears. Okay? Do they all reside in us at various times? Absolutely they do. And you have to be diligent to search them out and keep the wheat and get rid of the what? The chaff. Fear and serve him in 6:13, used in this way about 20 times in the book of Deuteronomy, to fear and serve him, used about 20 times in the book of Deuteronomy. Executing the judgments correctly will lead the people to hear and to fear in 21:21. Is that a good one? Absolutely. Fear in our circumstances will lead to total dissatisfaction with right now. Is that a good fear? No, that's in 28:67. Fear in our circumstances will lead to a total dissatisfaction. Is that a good one? Is that one you want to have? No, you don't. Okay, you got to get rid of that one, right? Okay. Fear of the Lord is used, the phrase fear of the Lord is used 27 times in the Bible, mostly in Proverbs, once in the New Testament in the book of Acts. Fear of God, the phrase fear of God, is used 8 times in the Bible, 5 in the Old Testament, and 3 in the letters to the churches written specifically to us. Fear of God. Fear and love, the two words fear and love in the Old Testament are only used together in the same verse in this book in Deuteronomy. We'll come to that in a moment. But fear and love in the Old Testament are only used together in the same verse in Deuteronomy. We'll come to that verse in a minute. But fear and love are used together in the New Testament in four verses, all in the letters to the church addressed to us. They instruct us on how the right kind of fear and love can exist together, these verses where they're used together, how they work together in the Christian's life. They also instruct us that the wrong kind of fear cannot, should not, and you should not allow to coexist with love. The wrong kinds of fear, kinds is what? Is that plural or singular? Plural. Kinds of fear cannot, should not be allowed to coexist with love. Now the verses, these four verses are 2 Timothy 1:7, 1 Peter 2:17, 1 John 4:18, and Jude 12. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says this, and this was the first verse I had my kids memorize. Margaret taught them that Jesus loved them. This I know, for the Bible tells them so. That's good. But this is the verse I taught them as they got older. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, a sober thinking mind. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So is that a good fear? Fear God? Yeah, apparently it is. He's telling us to do it. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Is this a good fear or a bad fear in 1 John? This is a bad fear. This is not the fear God fear. This is one of the ones you need to cast out. Okay? Jude 12 says this. This is the fourth one where these two are used together. These false teachers are spots, and the word spots there refers to reefs, dangerous reefs that are beneath the calm surface of the water. You follow that? Get that picture? And you get out there, and you get down there, and you tear up your feet in these reefs. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear. What are they lacking? What are these false teachers lacking? Fear of God. In a New Testament sense, not just an Old Testament sense, but they're lacking the fear of God. And because they have no fear of God, they have gone off the deep end. They've gone, and they're wackos and they're liberals in the church. Serving only themselves. They are clouds. They're awesome looking rain clouds. But guess what's not in them? There is no beneficial rain in them. They are clouds without water, it says. Carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit. Beautiful trees, but it's autumn. When do trees typically bear fruit? In the autumn. There's no fruit. Twice dead. They should be plucked up by the roots. There is a place in us for the right kind of fear. In Jude, they are without fear, without a correct fear of God, and they live accordingly. When we do not have the right kind of fear of God, we're not afraid that he will discipline us in some way, that we will live accordingly. If you go to church that only talks about the love of God and doesn't talk about sin, doesn't talk about its consequences, you are going to what? Live accordingly. You're going to live without the fear of God. In 1 John, they had the wrong kind of fear, and love is to cast it out. The fear of men, the fear of tomorrow, the fear of circumstances, the fear of their health. You're to get rid of those fears altogether. They're not to be a part of your life. Although it makes you feel really good to let everybody know how miserable you are. True? We do that, don't we? Pity parties. Fear. Cast it out. In 1 Peter, we are commanded to fear God. Obviously, This is the right kind of fear. In 2 Timothy, the Spirit of God does not give us the wrong kind of fear. The Spirit of God does not give us. That comes from your flesh. It comes from your senses outside of you. The Spirit of God does not give us that kind. The kind of fear that leads us to powerless, loveless, because we are in a self-love protection mode. And this fear takes us out of being sober-minded. We've got to get rid of that fear. The only fear you allow in the room of your heart is the fear of God. And you need to figure out what that is. How do you balance out the fear of God with the love of God? And they coexist together. But you got to have both. Because if you don't, you won't listen correctly. You will violate the first command, which is to hear. Moses encapsulates this combination of fear and love in chapter 10, 12 through 13. This is where the only time fear and love are used together in the same verse. In verse 12 of chapter 10, he says, "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him?" They can exist together, the fear of God and to love him. "To serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Verse 13, "And to keep the commandments of the Lord, his statutes, which I command you today for your good." Every command of us, of the 1,050 commands in the New Testament, are for our good. God is not the cosmic kill joy. And he's not the arm and hammer guy with the muscle with a hammer. He loves you, and therefore you're good. So let's have a summary. This just scratches the surface, and you're going to go home and study this more yourself. So we have a summary on fear. First one is, there is absolutely no place for the wrong kind of fear in our lives. You have to figure that out. Two, but we absolutely must have the right kind of fear in our lives in Christ. Absolutely must have it. So, how do we hear? Number two. That's the first one. If you have that balanced view of love and the fear of God in your life, you are going to hear correctly. If you don't, you're either going to get into condemnation because you have this fear of God that he's out to get you, or you have this love of God and you don't want to hear anything about what you're doing that may be displeasing to him. You follow me? But when you have both ears in tune to the love of God and the fear of God, you will gladly receive teachings that touch on both of those areas. Amen? There are very few amens on that. Number two, hearing without works leaves one deaf. Hearing without works leaves one deaf. Hearing is incomplete, useless, like software is useless without hardware. Without software, the hardware is useless, and the hardware is useless without software. They have to go together. To hear and to observe, to do, they have to go together. They flow together. They aren't, I'm going to hear on Monday, and then maybe on Thursday I'll start to do. No, it's an immediate flow, okay? The same word, now, hear is found, the word hear, Shema, is found 91 times in Deuteronomy alone, to hear. The same word, Shema, is translated obey, or diligently obey, or earnestly obey, or carefully obey 23 times in Deuteronomy alone. So the translators understood this concept that one side of the coin that says hear said to hear, to listen, and the other side said to what? Obey. They go together. You can't separate them. You can't separate them, okay? So which is correct, to hear or to obey? The answer is yes. There's no hearing without obedience. To hear and not obey is to be stone deaf. Isn't that what we talked about this last weekend? Isn't that kind of what Dave was talking about? Using some different words. The third way that we are to hear is when the correct how meets the correct what, we are hearing the truth. When the correct how meets the correct what, we are hearing the truth. Let me explain. So Jesus said this in Luke 8, 18a, therefore take heed how you hear. How you hear. Okay? He also in Mark 4, 24a said, take heed what you hear. When you have the correct how and the correct what you hear will be good, will be correct. You follow that? If you have the correct what, but you're not listening, you're only listening for love vibes, you know, or you're into condemnation and judgment, you're just listening for that, you're not hearing, okay? When you have the correct how you hear and you have the correct what you hear, is what you hear important? Yeah. Paul adds to this warning, a warning to Timothy and to us in 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4a. Verse 3 says this, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Sound teaching would be the what, correct? Okay. But having itching ears that need to be itched, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, to justify or be silent about their lifestyle. They're going to heap together teachers that will either justify the way they're living or they're going to be silent about the way they're living. They're not going to give the whole counsel of God. It's not going to be sound teaching. You follow? Okay. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off. And that's from the ESV. Number 4, ask the Lord to give you ears to hear. Ask the Lord to give you ears to hear, okay? Deuteronomy 29:4, and I kind of lift this out of context and I've kind of reversed it. It's a negative statement. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. Well, and I thought, and I said, well, Lord, I want that. Have you not given it to me because I've not asked for it? Or is there something going on? But the principle I'm taking there is ask the Lord for ears to hear. Because what you're hearing is what? Is it natural or is it spiritual? Which is it? Spiritual, okay? And it's spiritually understood, correct? That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us, okay? So you need to ask him for spiritual ears to hear, to perceive, to see. You do not have because we do not ask. I hope one of the great benefits of this is that we will be better hearers after this. We better listeners. We'll be complete hearers. We do not have because we do not ask. And because of this, I'm going to ask more often. I ask to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to ask. I want to be sure that I have ears to hear. I want him to give that to me as well. I could take it for granted. They were not given these great gifts. Let us be sure to ask for them. A heart to perceive. Eyes to see beyond what we see. Eyes to see beyond what we see. Ears to hear what's behind the words. Number 5, fifth way that we can hear better. It takes two balancing ears to walk the tightrope of life. It takes two balancing ears to walk the tightrope of life. And I picture going across, not me, the Niagara Falls on a tightrope, and you've got these balance on both sides so you don't fall off. It takes two balancing ears to walk the tightrope of life. What do I mean by that? Most biblical teachings are balanced by two sides. Jesus is 100% God, and yet he's also what? 100% what? Man. That is called the hypostatic union. We are to look for the Lord to come any day, are we not? But we're to be about the Father's business at the same time. Is that balanced ears? We are saved by grace and not works, but the graced believer works very hard. At their job, whatever they do, they work very hard at serving the Lord. One of the things I noticed about the book of Mark, and G. Campbell Morgan said this, it just struck me as I was preparing for the next 12 hours and 24 hours through the Bible. G. Campbell Morgan said this, notice that Jesus picked men who knew how to work hard already. He didn't have to train them to work hard. He didn't have to instill a hard work ethic. They had it. Because what they're going to do is going to be what? Hard. You imagine rowing from 6 p.m. till 3 in the morning with the wind in your face, and you only go 5 miles and miles, and they don't quit. These guys knew how to what? How to work. How to work. We're saved by grace, but the graced people know how to work, and they know how to work hard. We are to be in the world, right? What's the other ear tell you? But we're not to be of it. We are in Christ, yet our sinful nature is still in us. Oh wow. We're in Christ, seated in heavenly places, yet what's still in us? Our sinful nature. We humbly see how he chose us, and yet we received him by faith. We humbly see that he chose us, and it humbles us that he chose us before the foundation of the world. But we see how we've received him by faith. You see the two ears, the balance there. These are but a few of dozens of balanced hearing, keeping us on the narrow tightrope of life. And when you go off into one side of a doctrine and emphasize it, you will become heretical. You will. That's all that's on your guitar is that one string, and all you do is pluck it all the time. Number six, how to hear. Come to hear with your ear to the ground. You ever see anybody put their ear to the ground? They're listening for the train to come or traffic and that. Come to hear with your ear to the ground, and you come ready to hear what the Spirit says to the church. F.B. Meyer said, the gifts of God are found on the lowest shelves. Why? Because you have to bend down to get them. Because gifts will make you proud. But you get down, you get humble, you receive them. In Psalm 34:2, it says, the humble shall hear, because his words are found near the ground. Jeremiah 31:15 says the same thing, but differently. Hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. In other words, if you're proud, he's spoken, you're not going to what? Hear what he has to say. So come here with your ear to the ground. Last one, number seven. Listen with one hand closed and the other open. Listen with one hand closed and the other open. Gripped in the right hand. My right hand. Gripped in the right hand are, you are sure of who you are in Christ. Gripped in the right hand is, you are sure that two hands hold you, John chapter 10. You're sure of that. Nothing's going to pluck you out of those two hands, the Father and the Son's hands. You are sure of who you are. You are sure of the totality of the finished work of Christ on the cross. You grip that in your hand. You do not let go of that. You have no doubt about it. There is no sin in your life that is not covered by the cross of Jesus Christ. Can we get an amen to that? Amen. And there's no sin that anybody does against you that is not covered in the cross of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to forgive them? Are you? Boy, I've heard a lot of people, there's certain things they're not willing to forgive that have been done to them. You grip that in your hand. In your open left hand, because of what you're sure of, you are going to be open to having your doctrine corrected. You're going to be open to reproof. You're going to be open to instruction in the right way to live. Because you're sure of these things, you're not going to experience any condemnation over here. You're just going to go, okay, this is something I need to hear. I know who I am. I know how I got here. I know who has a hold of me. I know the cross. I know all that, but I am totally open what you have for me, Lord, to change me and to correct me. Can we get an amen to that too? You're open to doctrine, to correction, for reproof. Why? For instruction in the right way, for good works that you were ordained before the foundations of the world to walk in. Okay? If you don't have an open hand and God can't outfit you and correct you and make you that vessel of his to use, you're not going to be very useful to him. He'll keep working on you. He'll keep working on you. He'll keep working on you till you are, because he wants to use you. And guess what? The blessings are being used. Amen? You were ordained to walk in. So in summary, let's show these one at a time. Here is the first command. So hopefully I've given you some tools to help you with listening. How do you listen when you come in here? Number two, love is the first and in all the commandments. Love is the first and is in all the commandments. All 613 in the Old Testament, all 1,050 in the New Testament, whether it's you loving God, him loving you, or you loving other people. But all the commands must be involve his love. Number three, allow the right fear to dwell with love. Allow the right, the correct fear to dwell with love. And we won't have to read Jude 12 over you. Number four, ready yourself to hear every day. Ask him every day for ears to hear. And we have two mediums for hearing: our eyes when we read the words, and our ears when we hear them. Okay. Number five, again, here is the first command. Okay?